Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott. And yes, folks, how's your plant world doing? If you'd like to talk about it, all you have to do is simply call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And as every Saturday morning, the Good Gardening Stroll starts the Good Garden. No, not the Good Garden Hotline. The Garden Hotline. And then afterwards, we can discuss what's impacting your trees. Are your perennials growing? What's going on in that hillside? How about those shrubs? Those ones that have those kind of pinkish red flowers? And they're in the apple family? What is that? And what about a ground cover? Anything planted in your outdoors? But we can also step inside and have a look at your tropical world. From the routine care and maintenance of your houseplants to potting mixes, pruning your houseplants. Do you have insect troubles on your houseplants? Suspicious growth or spots? And maybe transplanting to a bigger pot? Maybe not. I'll share my knowledge to help you make a good decision. But the action you take is going to be strictly up to you. And remember, this is your show, and I appreciate you having me in your plant world. Another very important player is James. He's producing. So when you call, he will answer the phone, and all he needs is your first name. I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And besides our Saturday morning get-together, I can come out to your plant world and have an on-site consultation, a walk and talk. And today, after the show, I'm headed out to Crestwood. And you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and on the homepage, there's my email address and phone number. Well, let's get strolling. This walk is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Yesterday evening, the weather was just totally outrageous. I mean, the way it rained and then turned off and then rained and then lightning and then this and then that. And I mean, sometimes the rain was so thick, it was like fog. You couldn't even see, you know, 25 feet down into Christie Park. It was just absolutely amazing. So, it was just totally nuts and crazy. And stepping outside this morning, I knew it was going to be in the 50s, but boy, that felt cool, and it dropped very quickly. So I thought, well, when it's this windy, I should go someplace where you can really enjoy the very windy morning. Go to a high point, and I decided to go to the Compton Hill Water Tower. That's up on Grand and Shaw, basically, is where it is. Well, unfortunately, it's now closed, the tower. And to find out why and maybe to help reopen it, you can go to www.watertowerfoundation.org. And the water tower sits in Reservoir Park. And the reservoir is the background for the whole scenario there. And on the tower side, you've got basically a park, like Reservoir Park, of course. And that surrounds the tower. The lawn area is very vibrant with bright, bright green, and it's nice and spiced up with violets. So personally, I like violets. And, I do get rid of some of them, but a lot of them I just don't. There are some huge bald cypress there, and they mingle in with various conifers. And the conifers are really looking vibrant, and especially with this wind today. It was like they were waving back and forth in the wind. And deciduous trees, even you think, well, they don't have any leaves, though, so they probably wouldn't be moving around too much. But they were kind of moving. So it's the setting is just, absolutely, unbelievable. And there's a reflecting pool there. And the reflecting pool actually is honoring the German-American press. And the statue that's around or looking down on the reflective pool or pond is called the Naked Truth Monument. And throughout the entire park, there's daffodils kind of sprinkled in here and there and everywhere. And there's coral bells. And they're looking pretty darn perky, where the maiden grasses, well, they're still pretty much asleep. They haven't done anything. And around the tower, there is a black wrought iron fence, which encloses the entire base. And there is a sign that reminds you still that it is closed. And there's another dedication stone that says the bike racks that are scattered throughout the Reservoir Park were donated and contributed by Lotsy and Rick Holton, H-O-L-T-O-N, and that was done in 2012. And finally, the sun was starting to come out, but the wind is really cool. And here it is, April Fool's Day 2023, and I am really cold. I should have wore more heavy-duty coat, but I thought, I just need a windbreaker. And it was, I mean, it was okay. But so if you're stepping out, I think the wind is still blowing pretty strong. So just keep that in mind. I see the Missouri flag is flapping back and forth. And the unfortunate, this is at the Soldiers Memorial. The American flag has been whipped around the pole so much, it's just kind of more of a decoration on the pole than it is actually acting like a flag. So maybe somebody will get that thing straightened out. Again, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's go ahead and take a call before we go to break. Let's go to Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yes, I'm calling about my roses. They still look like they're sound asleep. A couple of them are starting to green up. I still have them covered. Is it time to uncover them from the winter covering? Or what should I do right now? It's really unusual to my normal schedule on the roses this year.
So you're talking about mulch covering? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I usually have a little bit of a... like straw and everything around it. I had some soil on it, and then I usually put some straw in a wire, covering just to do that. And okay. It is one of the two of the bushes looks like they're starting to get some life, but the others aren't. And so I didn't know if it was okay to start uncovering it or what I should do.
Well, historically, it's just all weather dependent. So who knows what the weather's going to be like? You can go ahead and start, pulling everything away and kind of letting them get perked up. But there's no way to accelerate it, and especially with this crazy temperatures and everything else. But you heard Scott's weather-related forecast where I think he said on Tuesday it's going to get up to 80. So this is just absolutely incredible for it to jump 40 degrees. In just 3 or 4 days is just amazing. So this up and down stuff has kind of thrown a lot of things off cycle, but also what it's done is made the daffodil season really extended, or all the spring flowering bulbs, they have lasted longer than I can ever remember because of the way the temperatures have been. So anyway, I would say go ahead and start, waking your roses up, and that way you can kind of get ahead of the game a little bit.
Thank you, Mike.
Sure, my pleasure. Sure. Mike Miller, KM Walks Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We have phone lines open.
Connect with KMOX on air, online. 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Patrick's yard. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
I'm okay. We bought a butterfly magnolia tree last May and planted it in our landscaping. this spring. It has budded up, but then the buds kind of shriveled up and fell off. I have a one-year guarantee on this tree, and I'm wondering if I should make a claim or if this is a normal thing.
Well, it probably just doesn't have a well enough established root system, and that's why it just didn't have the energy to push out the flowers. So
Okay. That
would be my guess, because, you know, something that's only been in the ground for less than a full year, it's really, really difficult to get it to, you know, to do any kind of flowering at all. And especially with the way our weather's been and everything else, it probably just got confused by lots of different things and just said, I can't do this, it's too exhausting, and then just dropped the buds.
Okay. I've got one other question for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We also bought some arborvitae at the same time, and one of them is brown on one side. I mean, you touch the needles and they fall off. Will that regenerate, or is that just on its way out?
That basically, it's not saying it's going to turn brown all the way around, but the area that's brown now will never green up again.
Okay.
So it won't be able to push out any new growth at that spot. They just don't have that ability or that adaptability.
So that's one I probably should ask for a replacement on.
Right.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you very much.
Certainly, my pleasure. And now let's go from Patrick's over to Phil's yard. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Michael. Other than using a good grass killer or weed killer, what can I do with these darned wild onions?
They are tough. There's no getting around it because, you know, the bulb is really, what, you know, I mean, it's just, they're tough. Let's put it that way. But what you can go out and are you opposed to using Roundup?
No.
Okay. So basically what you need to do is just get Roundup, and there's some varieties of Roundup, you know, in containers that will have kind of a cone on the rod that you actually spray with. And so that way it really concentrates the spray and doesn't allow it to go or, you know, and do any contamination to the plant material around. So step on the wild onions and then spray right as soon as you do, because you've opened up wounds with stepping on them, and then just spray the Roundup right on that spot.
Okay, I'll do that.
And it may take, you know, a couple applications depending upon how well established, you know, the onions are. So just don't get into a panic. A lot of times it will kill it the first time, but it's not a guarantee.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you, sir.
Certainly, my pleasure. And now let's go from Phil's over to Nancy's yard. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
My question is about my daffodils. Can I still fertilize them now, or am I too late?
No, you can fertilize them.
Okay. Well, my second question is, I bought some Miracle-Gro for acid-loving plants for my azaleas and rhododendrons.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use that on? Are they acid-loving?
Yeah, you probably won't hurt them. I mean, they should be okay. But
okay.
Just do half label rate.
And, oh, okay.
In the future, as soon as the foliage starts coming up, do the first fertilizing. Then when the foliage is fully, you know, erect, out, then the second fertilizing. Then when they're in flower, the third, you know, fertilizing. And then after the flowering starts to go downhill, then you could fertilize for a fourth time, but it's not going to be necessary. But each time, again, just do, half the label rate.
Okay, because some of them are real pretty still, and then some of them have already wilted and they're turning brown, flower.
That's just kind of, it could be, they're not all the same varieties, are they?
Gosh, I've planted some different years, so I'm not really sure what they are.
Are they all yellow, or are they different color flowers?
No, they're all yellow.
Okay, so they're probably pretty close to being the same ones. I've got a mixture of things that I got from Brightside St. Louis, but as far as color-wise. But, a different year could mean, you know, just it's not exactly the same variety. So, and it could be exposure, too, because the ones, you know, that are in the south side, they're going to come up first, they're going to flower first, and then consequently they're going to go into dormancy first.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, because the side I haven't planted on, it gets the wind and it gets, you know, I guess they got the frost and everything that we had got that one time. So, All right. Well, thanks so much.
Sure. My pleasure.
Okay. Bye.
Yep. Enjoy the spring. And now let's head over to Kyle's. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Mike. I have some skip laurels, three of them. They're about 3 years old, and they got hit by that really cold snap we had with the high winds, and all the foliage turned brown, and
right.
It's all dropping off. My landscaper said that there's a chance that they'll come back, so give it a shot, but what do you think?
Well, they're kind of marginally hardy anyway, so the fact that they're, you know, let's say they went through a really horrible circumstance, and without the foliage, you know, just you can check on the stems and everything, even though the foliage has dropped off or even if it's still hanging there, and just see if there's any viable or if there's any kind of new buds being pushed out. And just, you know, that could be a good signal that, well, we're going to go ahead and leaf back out again. Or if you don't see anything and the twigs feel kind of brittle, that's not a really good sign. So it's You could go ahead and wait. You don't have to rush out and get rid of them ASAP. But if you don't have any kind of, let's say, active growth by mid-May, then I'd say they're probably goners.
Okay, that was my next question. Thanks. I'll wait till the end of May, and if I don't see any new buds or anything, then I'll probably replace them.
Right. And also, You know, another place you can look is just at the, you know, at the ground level to see if the root system's pushing out any kind of new stems down there.
Okay. Will do. Thank you.
All right. And let's see. Where should we go now? How about over to Fred's yard? Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
Okay, so I got three questions for you. First of all, with moles, I know moles are a real problem. I've had them now for a couple years. I've bought two old traps, the conventional kind, but they're hard to set. But I'm wondering what your take is on a trap I could get that would be effective for them.
Basically, choker loop or, you know, Victor spear traps. You know, those are the ones that I personally have, you know, had experience with, and basically they came out when I was working at the botanical garden. So I used them there in the woodland garden because since that was a relatively new garden area, and the, you know, obviously with the botanical garden, there's lots of earthworms, and that's the main diet for the moles. So I got, you know, I probably got maybe half a dozen or so, and that's probably what I'd recommend. Now there are, you know, things that you can inject down into the active tunnels that smell like earthworms that are poisonous, so you can take that approach too. But the more or less mechanical traps, that's, you know, what I've had experience with. The other stuff, you know, many callers have called in and said, I've had really good luck with this gel thing that you can inject into the tunnels. So it probably works very well, but I've just not had any personal experience with it.
Okay. How about fertilizing boxwoods? Is this a good time to do that?
It's probably a little bit early, but because without knowing the weather, but they're probably already starting to flower, aren't they?
They're getting green, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, there should be some small white flowers on them real soon, especially if they're kind of, let's say, in a protected location with a building, you know, blocking the, say, the north side or something like that. Or even just a fence can really help protect them a little bit. But the boxwoods that I have, I have three different ones, and only one of them is actually in flower right, or starting to flower right now. The other two are not. And the other two are facing north, and the one that is flowering, starting to flower, is facing to the east. So I would say, maybe you could go ahead and make sure that you use a fertilizer for acid-loving plants. So, in other words, azalea, broadleaf, evergreen fertilizer. And you could probably do it within the next week or so.
Okay. And then the last question is, we have some Lenten rose that is doing well. How do I care for that?
How long they've been in the ground?
About 3 years.
Oh, you probably don't really have to do too much for them because you know that they're tough and durable and basically evergreen, too. So they should be in flower right now. If they're not, they're going to be in flower real soon. And they're not, it's not like a flower, that, as you well know, you've probably seen it, that's you're going, wow, they're in flower. But still, it's really kind of nice to see. And just normal care, if they're, you know, if the colony is producing more stems up from the root system, then you're doing everything, all you need to do.
Do I need to fertilize them?
You can. It's not necessary to do.
Okay. Well, they are in full bloom. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could go ahead and fertilize them, but if you're going to do fertilizing, since they're evergreens, you want to use the acid-loving plant fertilizer, and again, half label rate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that Miracle-Gro?
Yeah. You could use that one. Mir Acid. That's the one for acid-loving plants.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Yep. My pleasure. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Back after these messages.
Find out what's happening with your Redbirds from the manager himself, Oliver Marmol.
Sunday mornings at 10:15 on Sports on a Sunday Morning.
And Wednesday mornings at 9:50.
The Ollie Marmol Show.
I'm excited for not only the club, but for the fans. This is a special year for sure.
KMOX is Cardinals Radio.
Yes, back to the phones we go, and let's head over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi. How you doing?
Very good.
I have a question about crepe myrtles. I have 3 crepe myrtles in the ground, and in the fall, the deer came into my yard, and they chewed one down to just nubs. And one's got about a 2-inch, several 2-inch stems on it, and the other one they left alone for some reason. And I'm wondering, what's the best way to try and revitalize the ones that they damaged a lot?
If there's any, let's say, if they chewed on the bark on the stems, if there's anything that's frayed bark-wise, use a razor blade knife and just cut the frayed bark off. And other than that, there's really not too much you can do other than maybe going ahead, and it's a little bit early, but when we get to mid-May or so, they should be showing some active growth, and as soon as you start to see some active growth, then go ahead and fertilize them.
Oh, that's what I was wondering. What's the best thing to fertilize them with?
They don't necessarily need, a fertilizer for acid-loving plants, so just a general fertilizer, but don't use anything that's like a triple 12 or a triple 10 or anything like that. You want the first number to be low, like a 5-10-5 or, 15-30-30 or something along that line. But
Did you say an acid, more of an acid-type fertilizer?
No, you don't necessarily need that.
Okay, so Miracle-Gro would be okay?
Yeah, it should be.
And what's the formula I want to look for?
You don't have to get a specific formula. Just don't get one that has all 3 numbers the same, because those are fertilizers that are produced for agricultural crops, and they're not for long-term, let's say, plantings like a crepe myrtle.
Okay. And they take a while anyway to really show signs of, being alive in spring. It seems like they're a plant that's slow to come out in the spring.
Right, they are. And that's just simply their habit. The ground is cold. That's what triggers the growth. And so until the ground warms up to actually starts the triggering, they're just going to go stay asleep.
Yeah. Okay. And one they didn't hardly touch at all. So it's the regular height that it was, in the fall.
Right.
Should I in that or do anything to that or just leave it alone?
I would leave it alone. And if you're going to want to prune it because it's getting too tall or something like that, then next year do that in the fall after they finish flowering.
Okay. And they take like a moderate amount of water?
Yeah, I mean, our normal rainfall should be adequate. Unless we have extended periods of drought, then you're going to know that because you're starting to see some wilting on other things. Or you're going to hear some of the weather people or whatever talking about the rainfall.
Oh, okay. Well, we usually get pretty much in the spring, and it seems like we're getting a lot this year already. So.
You aren't kidding.
yeah, quite a bit.
Yes.
And I had one other question. I have a plant called an oxalis, I think. It's a looks like a clover type.
Right.
And I've been having a little trouble, I think, regulating the moisture on it. It always looks dry to me, so I added some water the other day, and now the tips of the leaves are turning yellow, and I lost just a couple leaves. And so it seems like maybe they like to be a little bit more on the dry side.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, they want to be on the dry side, and you can have, there's going to be people that have had them for multiple years, but they're not really all that easy to grow. I guess Mary's gone. And let's see, let's head over to Gloria's. Hi, Gloria.
Good morning, how you doing?
Very good, how are you?
I'm trying to ask you these three quick questions real quick. My boxwoods is yellow. Is that a disease?
It's weather related, no, so it's not a disease.
So I can just cut all that off, right?
You can just make sure that you don't cut it back too severely because you may get it back to the point that it's not going to be able to produce any new leaves on the stems that remain.
Well, I had this crazy yard man use his chainsaw to trim my boxwoods. I told him I would do that. You know, so they all brown at the top, so I was just going to cut that because they already tall.
Okay.
You know? Can you put your bulbs? I put my cannas out because the weather was nice. I need to bring them back in, don't I?
Well, you don't have to if they're. I'm assuming they're in pots, or are they in the ground?
No, I started them in the house, and they already tall. Flowers not on them yet, but they tall.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, it hasn't really gone below freezing, so they're probably okay. It's just not to their advantage to be outside when it's. If you got the opportunity and they're in pots, you can bring them in. Or you can just, you know, push them and get them on the south side where they're not going to have the north winds or like
this. Yeah, I put them at the garage door.
Okay.
But I'll just put them in the garage because the morning weather's going to turn back warm.
Yeah, by Tuesday it's going to be 80 degrees, so.
So how many bulbs do you put in one pot?
Just depends upon how large they are. It doesn't really, the size of the pot as well.
Okay, they're not big pots, so I think I could do three to make a nice one, right?
Yeah, you could do that, or you could just do one.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I got seven in a pack, and I already got them started.
Okay.
So I just want to ask you those questions. You have a good day, because you show it's good. Oh, one more question about these tomato plants. I bought some at Home Depot yesterday.
Ooh.
Yeah. About 12 of them. I want to, they're real small. When can I plant them in the ground?
The ground's still pretty cold, so I would say it's going to be tough. I'm assuming they're in a cell pack or maybe in a 4-inch pot or something, relatively small.
They're real small. They ain't even an inch. They're small.
Yeah, so you might have just pushed things a little bit too quick, but generally.
I haven't put them in the ground yet.
Yeah, the tomatoes, you really don't want to get into the ground until for another month or so, 1st of May.
Oh, okay. 1st of May. Because last year I planted them too soon, I think, but tomatoes didn't do right. But you said tomatoes didn't do right nowhere.
Right. They had a difficult time last year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Love your show.
Well, thank you. And now let's go over to Wayne's yard. Hi, Wayne. Wayne, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. How do I get rid of Bermuda grass?
You have just a small patch.
I have a couple small patches of it, and it's interfering with my green grass.
I would say you got to go after it with an herbicide.
A herbicide.
Yeah, so
which
a grass, you can get one. Just you can go to your favorite garden center and get a grass killer. It'll say right on the label that it's a grass killer. And just you, it may take a couple applications to finally get rid of it entirely. Another option is if you try to dig it out, then you're going to have to get some sod to replace it because you've dug this out. But if you just use an herbicide, wait till it's totally brown, then you're going to have to rake it and get a new piece of sod to go into those spots or get some seed. And the seed is going to be, it's going to be tough because putting any kind of grass seed down this time of year or even a month from now, and then it has to face our summertime, which is if you have a cool season lawn, a fescue or a bluegrass, then consequently it's a difficult time for those cool season lawns.
Okay. Would it be best to do all this in the fall of the year and suffer through the summer?
Well, you don't have to, but you could do that. You could do it like, you want to make sure the everything is actively growing. So probably go after the Bermuda that you're trying to kill in, let's say, mid-August or so. That way it'll give it several weeks before, as it to completely die off. And then you can do the seeding or the sodding after that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Sure. My pleasure. And let's see. Where should we go? Let's go over to Matt's yard. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I just had a couple questions. I have a toberry type evergreen, the palm type bush in front. And I was wondering, to keep its shape, when is the best time to trim it, and how much can I trim it back?
Be careful about how much you prune it. So I'm assuming it's some kind of conifer, like a juniper?
Yeah, it's thicker, leaves on it, needles. It's pretty hardy feeling.
Right. And going into summertime is probably not the ideal time to do it. I would say just, if you can, just leave it alone. And then prune it, as we get heading out of summer, so mid to late August going into wintertime. And that way then it'll have new growth coming, next year, in the springtime.
Okay, so don't trim back like the new shoots that come off of it?
Well, you can do that, but it all depends on how, let's say, aesthetically appealing or unappealing they happen to be.
Okay, sure. And then also I have two hydrangea paniculata bushes in front, and I was wondering on trimming those back as well, when the best time for that would be.
Basically right after they finish flowering.
Okay. All right, perfect. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Marty's. Hi, Marty. Hello, Marty, you there? Maybe not. And let's go to Matt's yard. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very good.
I'm actually making a call for a friend, a lady I work with. She's got some boxwoods that are kind of brown and just kind of certain spots. It's not the whole plant by any means, but she said all of them are just kind of starting a spot here, a spot there, just really browning. And I asked what her neighbors look like, and she said all her neighbors are looking good, and green, and healthy. Do you think that's a disease, or what do you think that could be?
I think that's, hers were just, let's say, more impacted by the weather than the, let's say, the neighbors. And, unless she's over there actually looking at the neighbors as close as she's looking at hers, the neighbors may be having the same problem that she is. But also, whatever direction her boxwood are facing, that can have an impact on how the weather's going to impact them, where the neighbors may be facing a different direction, and it's going to have, let's say, a different impact.
I see. No, that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. And tell her to you know, take care of them, and boxwood need like an acid-loving fertilizer. So the fertilizer is not necessarily going to get rid of the brown spots, because the brown spots are there, but it will just help with the overall health of the plants.
Okay. I appreciate the help.
Sure, my pleasure. And
okay,
now,
have a good one.
You too. And now let's go over to Jay's yard. Hi, Jay.
Hi, good morning, Mike.
Hi.
I have a couple questions about some plants that didn't do real well over the winter. The first is Feeling Blue Deodar Cedar. It's just a small kind of miniature drooping cedar. And the needles, a lot of them have turned brown over the winter. There's still some green. So I didn't know if that's a problem where it's not going to make it through the spring, or if it's just a fungus that hit it over the winter, or what?
Generally, winter is not going to impact them, you know, from a fungus standpoint. How long has it been in the ground?
We just put it in last fall.
Well, that's what it is. It's just, it doesn't have a well-established root system. The root system that's probably there is not able to take up any kind of nutrients or moisture, or not an adequate amount to keep, and it's not necessarily a variety of plant that does that well here in the first place. And then a newly installed one, it's kind of tough on it.
So would it be best just to allow it to try and get through this spring and summer, or just pull it out and replace it with something?
I would say go ahead and just leave it. You bought it because you liked it, and just see what happens. See if it can get itself established.
Okay, we'll do. And the second one is a Tuscan Flame bamboo plant that did not do real well either, and the majority of it probably from everything but the bottom 2 inches maybe is just brown and looks like it's dead.
Ooh. And that's not truly a bamboo, right? That's a nandina?
Yes, a mandina, yes.
Right. So all the nandinas were brutally beaten up by that cold spell that we had in the fall.
Okay. Will it come back?
Well,
should I just pull it?
How long has it been in?
Same time.
Oh.
We redid everything in the fall.
Yeah, it may not be able to to recover and push out any kind of new growth. But you could leave it, you know, for a month or so. If you're not seeing any new growth by, let's say, the 1st of May, then it's probably a goner.
Okay. Yeah, both of these are under warranty for, you know, through 1 year. So I didn't know if I should just pull them right now and cut my losses.
No. Well, you could if you're, again, it's an aesthetic call. If you want to be patient, you can, but you don't have to be.
Got it. All right. Thanks, Mike. Have a great day.
You too. And now let's go over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi. I wonder if there's a pre-emergence for onion grass.
No, there really isn't a pre-emergent for that. Because the pre-emergents only are effective on plants that are coming back from seed. The onions are coming back from a bulb, and that's not seed that's dropped, fresh seed that's, let's say, created, you know, each year that's dropped on the ground. So consequently, there is not a pre-emergent for that. It's, you have to use a post-emergent as it's actively growing herbicide.
Wow. Okay. But what about digging them, trying to dig them all out?
Oh, you could do that, sure.
What a job. And they are relentless.
Oh, they are. And I mean, even if you dig them up, if you leave a couple of little bitty bulbs there, then, I mean, they're tough and durable. They're going to come striking back.
Wow. Okay, so the best way is the application of maybe Roundup or something.
Yeah, right.
After they could start coming up.
Right. So as soon as they start to, you know, getting green, the sooner you hit them, you know, with the herbicide, the better it is. It may, again, still take a second application to finally get them eradicated entirely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have them mainly in a smaller pot, but if I try digging them all out, what chance is there to maybe work the grass, I mean, work the soil so that they won't come back?
Pretty good, because if you work the soil up, you're exposing the bulbs, and if it's exposed to, like, the weather, the sun, and everything else, then they're going to mm-hmm. dehydrate.
Okay. All right. I might try that, because I would rather get a head start on them. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the information.
Sure. My pleasure. And, Lynn, can you do it kind of quick?
You dropped off. He dropped off. Lynn, when he said, Lynn, can you do it kind of quick, and he hung up on me.
I'm not. We haven't dropped off.
I thought you dropped off on me because I heard a bong. I'm sorry, Mike. Real quick, I have established boxwoods. They're all yellow. If I leave them alone and don't do a thing with them, will they drop those yellow leaves and green back up?
It's going to be just a roll of the dice. But, yes, any of the brown/yellow leaves are going to fall. And if, you know, pushing out new growth is just going to depend upon the overall health of the plants.
Thanks, Mike. I'm glad I didn't use any obscenities.
We are, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep. And looks like that's going to be our last call for this hour. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after the news.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, it is the KMOX Garden Hotline second hour, which means the tip of the trowel, which is a special on-air recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me during this past week. And it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Right now, if you've got any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments related to your plant world, either inside or out, you can give us a call. We've got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120, and we can talk about it. Well, thanks for inviting me onto your show. And today's tip of the trowel goes out to everybody that's done anything as far as working at the retail garden centers. I mean, it is so insane this time of year. Every one of them has had tractor trailer loads of, you know, dry materials, dry goods and things like that, as well as the plant material, and to orchestrate and coordinate everything as it all comes in. Sometimes the tractor trailers don't know there's already somebody there. I was at a garden center the other day, and they had one that was pallets of dry goods. At the same time, another truck was pulling around that had plant material in it. So they, the staff was, you know, doing this, doing that. They had a forklift for, you know, all the dry goods. But still, it's a coordination, and it's absolutely amazing that they can pull this off. When I left the Botanical Garden, I went to Old Orchard Gardens, which is a garden center that's no longer in existence. But I had no idea that it was quite the orchestration needed, you know, in the springtime for the plant material and everything that, you know, came in. So a tip of the trowel goes out to all the garden centers, because you can go there and you can see how many plant materials there are, different types, and how much dry goods. And it's like, wow, how did they ever get this whole thing worked out? So anyway, as I said before, thanks for inviting me on your show, where we can have discussions ranging from specific plant selection for a location, or how to care for a plant that you have, or talking about what should be done during the peak season or the humdrum times for whether it's annuals, whether it's summer bulbs, whether it's spring bulbs, herbs, vegetables, fruit trees, evergreens, herbaceous ground covers, perennials, maybe those cascading or upright houseplants, cool or warm season lawns, shrubs, roses. What you need to do, what you maybe can choose to screen a view, whether it's a conifer or whether you choose a deciduous tree that's thick and dense, and during the wintertime it loses its leaves, but you're not really all that concerned about screening that particular view. So how about your fountains? No, there's a couple of people that have fountains. I don't have. I did fountains for several years in my yard, but I'm not doing them. I haven't done them for the last couple of years. And the ones in my neighborhood that I walk by, they're not set up yet either. But it is nice to walk by and hear some nice fountain water. And please remember, my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take for you to achieve success, but strictly offered for you to consider. And another very important member of the team here is, what's his name? I think it's James. Yes, it's James. He's producing, and that means he's pushing all the buttons while answering your phone. So if you do call in, he just needs your first name, and he'll get it on the computer, and then I can talk to you. I'm Mike Miller, by the way, hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994, and I can do a consultation at your home. Today, after the show, I'm headed to Crestwood. I call it a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and on the homepage, there's my email address and phone number. Today's tip of the trowel, which I've already given to all the garden centers and all the work that they have to do and get everything looking good and keeping it like, oh, gosh, it's going to be 32. What are we going to do with all the... I mean, it is really amazing in the springtime what they have to do. But it's, you know, the tip of the trowel is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Let's do a couple calls before we take a break. Is that Luella? Hi, Luella.
Hi, this is Luella. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I've noticed that most of the magnolias were frosted quite heavily, but there are two in my neighborhood that are starting to bloom. Is there a late blooming variety of magnolia trees?
Well, there's some that bloom in the summer even. So, yes, there are. But most of magnolias in our neighborhood, they didn't, I don't know where you actually live, but they really had almost a month of, you know, really pretty showy flowering.
Some that are starting now, what variety would that be?
It's tough to say because there's so many different varieties of magnolia. What you can do is just go, you know, and just exposure and everything else could kind of throw it off when it normally is flowering. So what color are the flowers?
Pink.
Pink? So it's probably a variety of saucer magnolia would be my guess. So just look, you know, go online and look at the saucer magnolias and see if that's what it is.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. And then the white-flowered ones are the stars. And then, again, there's the varieties that can, you know, that do bloom in the summertime. They're not nearly as striking as the spring ones because when the ones that flower in the summertime, there's so many other things that are flowering that they don't stand out like the spring bloomers do. So good luck with that. Okay. And let's see. Let's go over to Marty's. Marty, how are you?
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
We have about 3 or 4 plots of ivy. And they all seem to have died off over the winter, and they don't look like they're coming back. There's no leaves. I'm just wondering what might have happened and anything we can do to revive those areas.
Well, it was just a cold. I mean, any of the broadleaf evergreens, I'm assuming this was like a Boston, you know, ivy or something like that, so the evergreen types. And they all really were beaten by that cold snap, you know, in the early, during the fall, let's put it that way. And not too much you can do. Just kind of the stems and root systems and everything should be okay. So it should start pushing out some new growth, but it's a little bit early to expect the growth. And if you're not seeing anything by, let's say, 1st of May, any kind of new growth at all, then you might have to start getting a couple flats of new ones and installing them.
Okay. Thanks so much, Mike.
Sure, my pleasure. And let's go one more, and then we'll take a break. And let's go to Paula's yard. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Mike. I just had a question about, we lost an old-growth oak tree that was probably between 70 and 80 feet tall.
Ooh.
About 3 weeks ago, and it uprooted the whole tree and the ball and everything. So we had it taken out, but my question is, is it possible? So we're thinking about putting in maybe a dogwood or something smaller in that spot. And can we plant it in the hole? that was left by that tree?
I would probably not do that because there's still probably, you know, wood down in there from the tree, you know, and okay. That's going to be detrimental to try to get anything to get itself established. So, in other words, pieces of wood, whether the stump was ground out or whether it fell over or whatever it happens to be, or old bark or anything like that, has an adverse effect on new root systems getting established.
So could we put it, you know, kind of close to there? Or, I mean, when it took the whole ball out.
It's right.
Kind of like everything. So we didn't have to have it ground out. And I've been reading and trying to find some information, but I really couldn't find anything conclusive. But it just said to, you know, of course, when you have it ground to plant it, don't plant it there and plant it maybe to the right or left of it. But I don't know how far away from there we would plant it.
I would probably say around 15 to 20 feet.
Oh, really? Okay. That far.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That was my question. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yep. And just remember, when you're doing the installation, the hole should be 3 times the diameter of the root ball of whatever, you know, tree that you're going to install, but only 80% is deep. So in other words, the top of the root ball should be above the surrounding ground.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thanks so much for your help. I appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Trusted information, live and local. From the award-winning KMOX Newsroom.
Yes, folks, a lot of stuff going on. The annual cool season weeds that actually germinated last August are exploding in flowers right now. So whether it's henbit, which has the purplish flowers on it with a square stem, and the chickweed, both of those, the annual bluegrass, the prickly lettuce, the Persian speedwell, they're all flowering unbelievable. So this is the time when they're flowering, and then those flowers will get pollinated by wind, and then consequently, they're going to drop seeds. So if you have a weed problem that's an annual type weed or even a perennial weed that happens to drop seed, you know, coming back from seed and not the root system or the, like the onions, the bulbs, putting them pre-emergent down, guess what? Mid to late August next year, that's when you want to get it down because that's when they start growing. So even though they're not going to be obvious right at first, they're there, and they could be really problematic for some of the other plant materials. Let's go now. Let's back to the phones and go to Brian Jard. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Good. Hey, I just had a question. I have a, between me and my neighbor behind, he had a 15-foot swath of bamboo, probably about 35-foot tall. Which was a great barrier between our two houses.
Right.
He actually moved out, sold the house, and I noticed this year it's all brown. Is that all going to die off? Or I don't know if he was doing things to keep that active, or is that something that we're going to lose the screen wall?
Basically, the bamboo is pretty tough. But again,
I've never seen it this brown.
Yeah, because it was, again, you know, the cold that has turned so many things, you know, let's say downhill looking brown, was in the fall, and that's what happened with the bamboo. But the root system's still viable. The canes may, you know, still, some of them still may be viable, and they still may leaf out. But any of the leaves that are brown are definitely going to drop. But the colony should be, you know, in pretty good shape.
Okay. No, that's great because it's a great screen wall between the two of us.
Right.
But I was just worried that it was going to all die out.
No, it didn't get to, you know, it wasn't that kind of severe cold. It was more an aesthetic severe cold. That's why euonymus and some of the other broadleaf boxwood and things like that suffered some aesthetic damage. And generally, it's not going to be anything that's going to be killing a particular plant, bamboo included.
Okay. I appreciate it, sir.
Yep. And you should start seeing some new sucker growth coming up. And I don't know how this gentleman kept it, you know, because I planted some golden groove bamboo in my parents' house, and it became very aggressive. And just, you know, every time I went out to visit my parents, I'd have to get some of the aggressive new growth that comes up out of the ground to try to keep the colony, you know, in, let's say.
Yeah. No, it does try to expand constantly, yeah. But no, it's a great screen wall, though.
Yeah, you aren't kidding. All right, yeah. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. And let's go now to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. I would like to transplant some bulbs, daffodils and surprise lilies, irises. When would be a good time to do that?
How come you're trans? Well, let me ask you this. Why are you transplanting them?
Oh, I would just like to move some of them to a different area.
To be honest with you, you're not the iris, but with the daffodils and things like that, you're probably better off just to leave the ones that are there existing and just in the fall, just buy some new ones to the new area to install in the new area. I mean, you can dig them up, but it's a lot of work, and success can be, you know, disappointing. Let's put it that way. But if you want to do it, what you need to do is when the foliage is starting to turn brown, and basically, you know, let's say half of it is brown, that way you'll know right where they are. Then you got to dig them up, and they're planted down probably at least 4, if not 6 inches deep. You got to go down. You got to dig around, you know, beyond where the leaves are coming up out of the ground, and then lift the whole, let's say, clump up, and shake all the soil off of it. Then take them in and put them in paper bags. Then take them inside and let them be inside until the fall, until you would be installing them, you know, at that time. To just dig them up and move them to a new location, that may work, but it may not.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And I think I'm going to save myself some work and enjoy them just where they are.
And just get some new ones for the spot that you wanted to, you know, have some other ones.
Yes. Thanks a lot.
Yep. And let's see. Where should we go now? Let's go over to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Repeat call out near Lake Chishomingo area. So I put a retaining wall in and some dirt last year, and there's a bunch of weeds in it where I want to plant some perennials. Should I spray that with Roundup and let it die and then pull everything else up, and would that be okay?
You don't need to necessarily. Basically, when the Roundup hits the plants that you're trying to kill, it really doesn't contaminate the soil, so you
Great.
Could go ahead, but you're probably better off to leave it until it does die and just realize that there's probably going to be a whole wave, a couple different waves of weeds coming up in the soil that you brought in.
Probably, yeah. I guess that's right. Hey, another question. I've been pulling some cedar trees over, root wads and everything else, trying to get cedar trees out of the yard. I want to plant other trees throughout the yard. I saw big tree farm out. I used to pass all the time out in 70 out. It's Heddle or Hoytle, somewhere out past Warrensburg, Warrington. When they talk about a blaze spruce that's 2.5 inches, can you tell me is that at the very bottom? And then how tall would you estimate that tree would be?
Yeah, 2.5 inches. That is a caliper or the diameter of the trunk. And basically, it's measured not right at ground level, but just above ground level. And it depends upon the variety of the plant, but you're probably looking at about 6 to 8 feet would be my guess. It might be even a little bit less than that, maybe like 4 to 6 feet.
Okay. Okay. Is that a good tree to plant in this area out here?
Not really.
It was just one I saw in there, and I was trying to get pricing and compared. So, hey, let me ask one more question real
sure.
quick. I'm getting ready to go on your design, your website. Do you happen on your in your mind, do you happen to know, are you going to be out in the Hillsboro area anytime soon that you already have planned?
Not yet. No, I don't have any in Hillsboro.
Okay, because I want to get you out here for a couple hours as soon as I can. So I'll go on your website and see what I
do. Yeah, just send me an email and I'll get back in touch with you.
All right, sir. Have a good day.
Yep. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these messages.
It's Cardinals baseball today as they face the Blue Jays. Ameren Total Access 1220. First pitch 1:15. Hear the game on 98.7 FM, 1120 AM, and streaming on KMOX.com.
Back to the phones we go. And if you do have any questions or concerns, we have some phone lines open. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to James' yard. Hi, James.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Very good.
Hey, I live up in Springfield, Illinois, and about a month ago, I cut back my snowbird bushes, and, you know, there was a lot of dead in there, so I cleaned them out and everything else. So I cut about probably 2 feet off of them. Now is it about the right time to put some fertilizer on them, or what should I do next?
You can go ahead and do some fertilizing.
What type would you recommend on that?
Now, what was this plant?
It's called a snowbird. They bloom white.
And
they're like, yeah.
And they bloom in the summer?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, I'd probably maybe wait for another couple weeks and then do the fertilizing at that time. And basically just a general all-purpose fertilizer should be adequate.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. And, you know, I checked the soil temperature the other day, and it's still only about 48 degrees at 2 inches deep up in here in Springfield.
Right.
So I haven't put my pre-emergence down yet, but I was thinking it's about that time.
It's getting really close because 3 or 4 days in a row of 50 degrees, that's when the seeds start germinating. So putting the pre-emergent down now, there would be not any kind of problem with that.
Okay. I'll get it done tomorrow then.
Okay. And then with the fertilizer, just make sure you don't get the fertilizers that are formulated for seasonal agricultural circumstances like triple 12, triple 10, and things like that. Stay away from those.
Okay. Will do.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, and now let's go over to Bob's. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mike. I have a couple of questions. One, of course, you've alluded to quite a bit with this screwy weather, weather-related item. We have a holly that lost probably 80% of the leaves.
Ooh.
I looked at it, and the tips of the branches are brown, say, a couple 2 to 3 inches. I'm planning on pruning that all off and crossing my fingers and waiting until, I think I've heard you say this morning, until May, or am I wasting my time, or what's his story on that?
I would just leave them alone and not do any kind of pruning until mid-May, and that way you'll find out if those tips that are appearing to be brown are actually dead and just not discolored due to the weather.
Okay. Well, I've used the fingernail thing, and they're They appear dead to me.
Okay. You know, so you scrape the bark off, and then it's dull underneath. It's not lively white looking.
No.
Okay.
It's not. So should I still wait, say, till the end of April 1st of May to do that?
I wouldn't get, there's no reason to get into a panic because the pruning can be done at that time.
Right. I knew that in general, but that. I'm 80 years old. I'm not sure I've seen weather up and down like this has been this year. I mean, it's as you said, it's, I don't know, it's unbelievable. One more question, please.
Sure.
Some years ago, built a, with stone, big stone, a raised bed mix, and we put the raised bed mix from St. Louis Compost in there. And we always have lantanas in there. They do well, and the deer don't like them. Hummingbirds love them. But my question is, in preparing that a week or so ago, I raked the mulch off and got it ready to replant, and it's a hair low. So my question is, can I just top dress that with, say, oh, an inch of black gold or something, or you recommend something else?
No, you could do that.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. No, that answers it then.
All right.
And then do I incorporate that into the existing raised bed soil, or just use it as a top dressing?
No, I would, you know, at least rake it in.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Yep. And now let's head over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Very good. How are you?
This is probably my fifth question about a piney or peony. This one got away from me. It's up about an inch, and it's got a little leaf on it, but I need to transplant it. Can I still do it?
Yeah, water it and dig it up and let it sit above the ground. Don't put it in a new location yet. Let it sit above the ground for a day or so, because when you first dig them up, their root systems are very brittle, almost like stem, you know, like wood, like stems on trees. And then they're going to be a lot more able to acclimate to the new location if you let those, and it does happen just, you know, basically in one day. And just make sure that you plant it in a, you know, it's a little bit higher than the surrounding ground.
Okay, and then I have a comment. You said a long time ago, over 10 years ago, to cut that willow down, and that willow is still growing even though it's only got a half a trunk. So I don't know what to tell you, I guess.
Tough plant.
Yeah. Thank you very much for what you do.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, let's see. I guess we'll take another call or two. Dee Dee, how are you?
Yes, okay. How are you, Mike?
Good.
I planted butterfly weed seeds last year on the side of my garage, and they grew, did fine. Now I have the old stems that are about foot or 2 feet high. Will I get new growth on them, or should I cut them down?
Well, the stem is not going to necessarily produce new growth. So, in other words, you're asking if that stem's going to produce some flowers?
Yes, if I should cut them down.
Yeah, you can go ahead and cut them. And if it does have any kind of seed pod at the top, you know, just cut that seed pod and let it just fall. And then, you know, maybe you'll get some seed germinating from that. But the milkweed is going to come back from the root system, not from as a result of the stem.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. And, yeah, milkweed is kind of a fun one. It's pretty easy to grow from seed. So I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And now let's head to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Two questions, if I may. We have some Prague viburnum planted on the north side of our house. They're in heavy shade. And the intention was to screen some stuff on the side of the house. They've been in the ground about 3 or 4 years now, and they really haven't grown a whole lot, in my opinion. What should we do in terms of trimming and fertilization?
What's causing the shade?
We have three large bald cypress and a pine tree there.
Yeah, basically, these plants cannot compete with the existing trees. So regardless of what you do, they're never going to be really actively growing.
Okay. Any suggestions for shading something on the side of the house low?
Yeah, that's just a really difficult circumstance as far as being able to compete with the existing tree roots. And anything is going to be, let's say, iffy at best.
Okay. Second question. Over the winter, we keep Roundup and Weed Be Gone in our garage. Does it lose its effectiveness?
It really, you know, it shouldn't, because if you don't have it sitting on the you know, on the floor where it's going to be the coldest, if you have it up on a shelf, it should be okay. But just to try it, just, you know, go out and experiment on one spot and see, you know, wait for 2 days and see what happens.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. And now let's go to Sue's yard. Hi, Sue.
Oh, yes, I'm turning my
turning it down.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Nardina shrub? It's very pretty. I don't know if it's relatively new or not. Really bright colors, keeps its leaves all winter long. I guess it's about 25 inches tall, or it was. We've had either a bunny or a squirrel. I'm suspecting a squirrel. I found an acorn yesterday. But he has nipped that thing back prolifically. So I'm wondering, what do you think we should do? Just call it quits with him or continue?
No, you could. I mean, it should be able to come back from the root system. So, yeah, the Nandinas are really tough. They're durable. They're evergreen. And they put those clusters of flowers at the top. And, they have, they're smaller growing, so they're more of an accent-type plant.
Yeah, that's what I used it for.
Yeah, I can't imagine a squirrel bothering.
Well, my neighbor commented, he didn't even think it would be a rabbit. So we have no deer around ever. I don't know what it was, but, they're sharp. There's two of them, really riddled them both. Would a chipmunk?
I guess they could, yeah.
Maybe that's the culprit.
Yeah, because squirrels are really not into, chewing on plants, at least not that I ever see.
Okay. Well, we've had a chipmunk. Our neighbor's trying to take care of them. I bet I found. So I'll just leave them there, and hopefully they'll come back.
Right. They should come back from the root system if they were nice and healthy. Now, how long have they been in the ground?
Well, at least a year, but we did buy them at a nursery, so they were nice and healthy.
Sure.
But, yeah, they don't look that way now.
Well, a lot of them suffered some major winter damage due to that cold snap. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, at first I thought that, and the leaves were kind of turning brown and falling down, and then I saw all this. I mean, very sharp cuts,
Right.
Whoever he was, he's got sharp teeth. Okay, well, thank you so much, and I'll just leave him there and hope they live.
Yep.
Or do something.
It should be okay.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yep.
Enjoy your program.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. Let's head over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
Good. Listen, I heard you say to use pre-emergent on chickweed in August.
Right.
But what do I do and what do I use on them now? Because I have really bad prolific chickweed in my yard.
Yeah, there's not too much you can do. You have to use if it's in in your lawn, you can use a Weed Be Gone type killer. But understand that seed, they've been producing, they're prolific with the flowers now, but they have been producing, flowers and seed up till now. But the only way to get rid of it is a post-emergent broadleaf weed killer like a Weed Be Gone.
Okay. Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. And now let's go over to Terry's yard. Hi, Terry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I have two quick questions. I heard you say this morning that the coral bells were doing nicely, and I had planted coral bells last year, and they did really well, but I went out and looked at them, and they're not doing anything right now. Should I worry about them? They're on the east side of the house.
No.
Next to the house.
Yeah, they should be okay.
Okay.
It's just the ones that I saw at the water tower, they were actively growing. Now, I've got some purple, varieties of the coral bells, and mine aren't showing any kind of active growth yet.
Okay, good. Mine are purple, too, so maybe they just come a little later.
Right.
And my second question is, I have some blue-eyed Mary seed. Do you have any tips on where and when I should plant those?
I would start them, get a potting mix for seed starters, and I'd start them in a relatively small pot, like a 6 or 8 inch pot, and then do the installation after they get about 3 inches.
So, do I put several seeds in that pot?
Yeah.
Okay. and about just a small pot, and then when they get 3 inches or so, transplant them?
Right, exactly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. And now let's go to Sydney's yard. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Mike. Hi. We planted some green giants in our front yard last year, and within no time, they're already just like a rust color. And we'd like to put something there. We have a large front yard. It's full sun. We need to find something that's relatively easy to grow. We've tried spruces. That hasn't worked. The green giants have not worked. Do you recommend anything?
You could try some of the upright junipers.
Junipers.
Right.
Okay. Okay, great. I'll try that. One other question. A friend has 2 Japanese maples. She lives in the city. They fully cover. She wants to put something underneath it. But would a ground cover be the best bet? Everything else she has tried has not worked.
Yeah, it depends upon how, you know, is the Japanese maple she have, is it the umbrella type or is it the upright type?
It's the umbrella type.
Yeah.
It covers the whole thing. They're beautiful trees.
Right.
But I was thinking maybe some snow in the mountains, something like that underneath it. Or is it just going to be tough to grow anything with the trees being there?
Yeah, it's going to be tough because they have a lot of surface roots, and that's going to make it, you know, difficult. And especially if they're well established, anything that you put there, any kind of ground cover or anything else, is going to have a tough time.
It is. Okay, thank you so much, Mike.
Sure. I mean, there's going to be some things that's going to be able to survive, but it's going to be difficult. And now let's head over to Chris. Hi, Chris's. Oh, I'm sorry. Donna, sorry. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Mike. I take care of my church flowers, and this plant, I think it was one of the original Nadinas. It's about 4 to 5 feet tall. It always had green leaves. Always had red berries in the winter. And this year, when I heard you said that Nadinas usually hold their leaves, all of the leaves have dropped off of this plant. And I am wondering if it is gone, if there's a chance that the weather took it or the age took it or if it will come back.
Yeah, it wasn't age. It's with the weather. And you're just going to have to wait and see if it's going to be able to come back.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I always love listening to your show.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. And now let's head over to Chris's. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I have a whole bunch of the orange flower butterfly weed that is back in the back of my property. And every year I say I'm going to collect the seeds, and I forget. So if I were to catch those and dig them up and bring them up, to the front of my property, is that something that what would I want to do? Just find a good, put some soil in there and set it up in a box, or what would be the best thing?
I would say leave the ones that are there and just get some new ones rather than trying to move them. I don't, you know, that's a lot of work, and it's going to be a little bit difficult, let's put it that way.
They have pretty deep roots, don't they?
Yes. They're really tough, okay. And they're very durable. So I would just get some new plants or new seed.
Okay. All right. I'll try that. Thanks.
All right. And now let's go to David, and he'll be our last call of the day. Hi, David.
Well, the Webster Groves has a program out now. They're asking citizens not to cut the grass for the entire month of April. And they've got signs that say no mow April. I'm curious to what your thought is of that.
I don't know why they're saying that.
here's why they're saying that. They're saying it's going to help the bees and the other pollinators. So if you get more dandelions and other weeds in your yard, it'll help the pollinators, I guess. It sounds ridiculous to me. I imagine the guys that cut yards aren't very happy about this ordinance. They're waiving the requirement for the height of the grass specifically for this program. You go up to 11 inches on your grass if need be.
Yikes.
Yeah, ridiculous, I think. I want your professional opinion of that, though.
Yeah, that's. I wouldn't advise that, because then you're setting up a scenario where the humidity, the heat, and everything else, you could end up with some major fungus problems.
Yeah. Well, that's Webster. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, it's especially I would just wouldn't do it personally. But yeah, it's nice if they want to have some clover and things like that. Let them plant it in the park, and that should be adequate. But thanks to everybody for calling in, and enjoy this crazy windy day. It's much cooler than what I would was hoping it was going to be. But you know, our weather is just up and down and all around. And like I said, I'm headed to Crestwood after I say goodbye. And goodbye. See you next week. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's Cardinals baseball today as they face the Blue Jays. Ameren Total Access 1220. First pitch 1:15. Hear the game on 98.7 FM, 1120 AM, and streaming on KMOX.com.
Back to the phones we go. And if you do have any questions or concerns, we have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to James' yard. Hi, James.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Very good.
Hey, I live up in Springfield, Illinois, and about a month ago, I cut back my snowbird bushes, and, you know, there was a lot of dead in there, so I cleaned them out and everything else. So I cut about probably 2 feet off of them. Now is it about the right time to put some fertilizer on them, or what should I do next?
Yeah, you can go ahead and do some fertilizing.
What type would you recommend on that?
Now, what was this plant?
It's called a snowbird. They bloom white.
And
And
they bloom in the summer?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, I'd probably maybe wait for another couple weeks and then do the fertilizing at that time. And basically just a general all-purpose fertilizer should be adequate.
Okay. All right, appreciate it. And, you know, I checked the soil temperature the other day, and it's still only about 48 degrees at 2 inches deep up in here in Springfield.
Right.
So I haven't put my pre-emergence down yet, but I was thinking it's about that time.
It's getting really close because 3 or 4 days in a row of 50 degrees, that's when the seeds start germinating. So putting the pre-emergent down now, there would be not any kind of problem with that.
Okay. I'll get it done tomorrow then.
Okay. And then with the fertilizer, just make sure you don't get the fertilizers that are formulated for seasonal agricultural circumstances like triple 12, triple 10, and things like that. Stay away from those.
Okay. Will do.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, and now let's go over to Bob's. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mike. I have a couple of questions. One, of course, you've alluded to quite a bit with this screwy weather, the weather-related item. We have a holly that lost probably 80% of the leaves.
Ooh.
I looked at it, and the tips of the branches are brown, say, a couple 2 to 3 inches. I'm planning on pruning that all off and crossing my fingers and waiting until, I think I've heard you say this morning, till May, or am I wasting my time, or what's his story on that?
I would just leave them alone and not do any kind of pruning until mid-May, and that way you'll find out if those tips that are appearing to be brown are actually dead and just not discolored due to the weather.
Okay. Well, I've used the fingernail thing, and they're They appear dead to me.
Okay. So you scrape the bark off, and then it's dull underneath. It's not lively white looking.
No.
Okay.
It's not. So should I still wait, say, till end April 1st of May to do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't get, there's no reason to get into a panic because the pruning can be done at that time.
Right. I knew that in general. But that, I'm 80 years old. I'm not sure I've seen weather up and down like this has been this year. I mean, it's as you said, it's I don't know, it's unbelievable. One more question, please.
Sure.
Some years ago, built a with stone, big stone, a raised bed mix, and we put the raised bed mix for from St. Louis Compost in there, and we always have lantanas in there. They do well, and the deer don't like them. Hummingbirds love them. But my question is, in preparing that a week or so ago, I raked the mulch off and got it ready to replant, and it's a hair low. So my question is, can I just top dress that with, say, an inch of black gold or something, or you recommend something else?
No, you could do that.
Okay. Okay. No, that answers it then.
All right.
And then do I incorporate that into the existing raised bed soil, or just use it as a top dressing?
No, I would, at least rake it in.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Yep. And now let's head over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Very good. How are you?
This is probably my fifth question about a piney or a peony. This one got away from me. It's up about an inch, and it's got a little leaf on it, but I need to transplant it, and I still do it.
Yeah, water it and dig it up and let it sit above the ground. Don't put it in a new location yet. Let it sit above the ground for a day or so, because when you first dig them up, their root systems are very brittle, almost like stem, like wood, like stems on trees. And then they're going to be a lot more able to acclimate to the new location if you let those, and it does happen just, basically in one day. And just make sure that you plant it in it's a little bit higher than the surrounding ground.
Okay, and then I have a comment. You said a long time ago, over 10 years ago, to cut that willow down, and that willow is still growing even though it's only got a half a trunk. So I don't know what to tell you, I guess.
Tough plant.
Yeah. Thank you very much for what you do.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, let's see. I guess we'll take another call or two. Dee Dee, how are you?
Yes, okay. How are you, Mike?
Good.
I planted butterfly weed seeds last year on the side of my garage, and they grew, did fine. Now I have the old stems that are about a foot or 2 feet high. Will I get new growth on them, or should I cut them down?
Well, the stem is not going to necessarily produce new growth. So, in other words, you're asking if that stem's going to produce some flowers?
Yes, I should cut them down.
Yeah, you can go ahead and cut them. And if it does have any kind of seed pod at the top, just cut that seed pod and let it just fall. And then, maybe you'll get some seed germinating from that. But the milkweed is going to come back from the root system, not from as a result of the stem.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. And milkweed is kind of a fun one. It's pretty easy to grow from seed, so I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And now let's head to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Two questions, if I may. We have some prog viburnum planted on the north side of our house. They're in heavy shade. And the intention was to screen some stuff on the side of the house. They've been in the ground about 3 or 4 years now, and they really haven't grown a whole lot, in my opinion. What should we do in terms of trimming and fertilization?
What's causing the shade?
We have three large bald cypress and a pine tree there.
Yeah. Basically, these plants cannot compete with the existing trees. So regardless of what you do, they're never going to be really actively growing.
Okay. Any suggestions for shading something on the side of the house low?
Yeah, that's just a really difficult circumstance as far as being able to compete with the existing tree roots. And anything is going to be, let's see, iffy at best.
Okay. Second question. Over the winter, we keep Roundup and Weed Be Gone in our garage. Does it lose its effectiveness?
It really, you know, it shouldn't, because if you don't have it sitting on the you know, on the floor where it's going to be the coldest, if you have it up on a shelf, it should be okay. But okay, just to try it, just, you know, go out and experiment on one spot and see, you know, wait for 2 days and see what happens.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. And now let's go to Sue's yard. Hi, Sue.
Oh, yes, this, I'm turning my, turning it down.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Nardina shrub? It's very pretty. I don't know if it's relatively new or not. Really bright colors, keeps its leaves all winter long. I guess it's about 25 inches tall, or it was. We've had either a bunny or a squirrel. I'm suspecting a squirrel. I found an acorn yesterday. But he has nipped that thing back prolifically. So I'm wondering, what do you think we should do? Just call it quits with him or continue?
No, you could. I mean, it should be able to come back from the root system. So, yeah, the Nandinas are really tough. They're durable. They're evergreen. And they put those clusters of flowers at, you know, at the top. And, you know, they have, I mean, they're smaller growing, so they're more of an accent type plant.
Yeah, but I can't, that's what I used it for.
Yeah, I can't imagine a squirrel bothering.
Well, my neighbor commented, he didn't even think it would be a rabbit. So we have no deer around ever. I don't know what it was, but I mean, they're sharp. There's two of them, really riddled them both. Would a chipmunk?
I guess they could, yeah.
Maybe that's the culprit.
Yeah, because squirrels are really not into, like, chewing on plants, at least not that I ever see.
Okay. Well, we've had a chipmunk. Our neighbor's trying to take care of them. I bet I found. So I'll just leave them there, and hopefully they'll come back.
Right. They should come back from the root system if they were nice and healthy. Now, how long have they been in the ground?
Well, at least a year, but we did buy them at a nursery, so they were nice and healthy.
Sure.
But, yeah, they don't look that way now.
Well, a lot of them, you know, suffered some major winter damage due to that cold snap. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, at first I thought that, and the leaves were kind of turning brown and falling down, and then I saw all this. I mean, very sharp cuts, you know.
Right.
Whoever he was, he's got sharp teeth. Okay, well, thank you so much, and I'll just leave him there and hope they live.
Yep.
Or do something.
It should be okay.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yep.
Enjoy your program. Mm-hmm.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. Let's head over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
Good. Listen, I heard you say to use pre-emergent on chickweed in August.
Right.
But what do I do and what do I use on them now? Because I have really bad prolific chickweed in my yard.
Yeah, there's not too much you can do. You have to use if it's in the, you know, in your lawn, you can use like a Weed Be Gone type killer, but understand that seed, you know, they've been producing, I mean, they're prolific with the flowers now, but they have been producing, you know, flowers and seed up till now. But the only way to get rid of it is a post-emergent broadleaf weed killer like a Weed Be Gone.
Okay. Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. And now let's go over to Terry's yard. Hi, Terry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I have two quick questions. I heard you say this morning that the coral bells were doing nicely, and I had planted coral bells last year, and they did really well, but I went out and looked at them, and they're not doing anything right now. Should I worry about them? They're on the east side of the house.
No.
Next to the house.
Yeah, they should be okay. I mean,
okay.
It's just the ones that I saw at the, you know, the water tower, they were actively growing. Now, I've got some purple, you know, varieties of the coral bells, and mine aren't showing any kind of active growth yet.
Okay, good. Mine are purple, too, so maybe they just come a little later.
Right.
And my second question is, I have some blue-eyed Mary seed. Do you have any tips on where and when I should plant those?
I would start them, get a potting mix for seed starters, and I'd start them in a relatively small pot, like a 6 or 8 inch pot, and then do the installation after they get about 3 inches.
So, do I put several seeds in that pot?
Yeah.
Okay. And about just a small pot, and then when they get 3 inches or so, transplant them?
Right, exactly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. And now let's go to Sydney's yard. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Mike. Hi. We planted some green giants in our front yard last year, and within no time, they're already just like a rust color. And we'd like to put something there. We have a large front yard. It's full sun. We need to find something that's relatively easy to grow. We've tried spruces. That hasn't worked. The green giants have not worked. Do you recommend anything?
You could try some of the upright junipers.
Junipers.
Right.
Okay, great. I'll try that. One other question. A friend has 2 Japanese maples. She lives in the city. They fully cover. She wants to put something underneath it, but would a ground cover be the best bet? Everything else she has tried has not worked.
Yeah, it depends upon how, you know, is the Japanese maple she have, is it the umbrella type or is it the upright type?
It's the umbrella type.
Yeah.
It covers the whole thing. They're beautiful trees.
Right.
But I was thinking maybe some snow in the mountains, something like that underneath it. Or is it just going to be tough to grow anything with the trees being there?
Yeah, it's going to be tough because they have a lot of surface roots, and that's going to make it, you know, difficult. And especially if they're well established, anything that you put there, any kind of ground cover or anything else, is going to have a tough time.
It is. Okay, thank you so much, Mike.
Sure. I mean, there's going to be some things that's going to be able to survive, but it's going to be difficult. And now let's head over to Chris. Hi, Chris's. Oh, I'm sorry. Donna, sorry. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Mike. I take care of my church flowers, and this plant, I think it was one of the original Nadinas. It's about 4 to 5 feet tall. It always had green leaves. Always had red berries in the winter. And this year, when I heard you said that Nadinas usually hold their leaves, that all of the leaves have dropped off of this plant. And I am wondering if it is gone, if there's a chance that the weather took it or the age took it or if it will come back.
Yeah, it wasn't age. It's with the weather. And you're just going to have to wait and see if it's going to be able to come back.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I always love listening to your show.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. And now let's head over to Chris's. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I have a whole bunch of the orange flower butterfly weed
uh-huh.
that is back in the back of my property. And every year I say I'm going to collect the seeds, and I forget. So if I were to catch those and dig them up and bring them up, to the front of my property, is that something that what would I want to do? Just trying to put some soil in there and set it up in a box, or what would be the best thing?
I would say leave the ones that are there and just get some new ones rather than trying to move them. I don't, you know, that's a lot of work, and it's going to be a little bit difficult, let's put it that way.
They have pretty deep roots, don't they?
Yes. They're really tough, okay. And they're very durable. So I would just get some new plants or new seed.
Okay. All right. I'll try that. Thanks.
All right. And now let's go to David, and he'll be our last call of the day. Hi, David.
Well, the Webster Groves has a program out now. They're asking citizens not to cut the grass for the entire month of April. And they've got signs that say no mow April. I'm curious to what your thought is of that.
I don't know why they're saying that.
here's why they're saying that. They're saying it's going to help the bees and the other pollinators. So if you get more dandelions and other
weeds in your yard that will help the pollinators, I guess. It sounds ridiculous to me. I imagine the guys that cut yards aren't very happy about this ordinance. They're waiving the requirement for the height of the grass specifically for this program. You go up to 11 inches on your grass if need be.
Yikes.
Yeah, ridiculous, I think. I want your professional opinion of that, though.
Yeah, that's. I wouldn't advise that because then you're setting up a scenario where the humidity, the heat, and everything else, you could end up with some major fungus problems.
Yep. Well, that's Webster. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, it's especially, I just wouldn't do it personally. But, yeah, it's nice. If they want to have some clover and things like that, let them plant it in the park, and that should be adequate. But thanks to everybody for calling in, and enjoy this crazy windy day that's much cooler than what I would was hoping it was going to be. But, you know, our weather is just up and down and all around. And like I said, I'm headed to Crestwood after I say goodbye. And goodbye. See you next week. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.